Dr. Percy Collet prayed for 7.5 years to see heaven. He was a missionary to the Amazon jungles when God honored his request and took him to heaven for 5.5 earth days. Listen now as Dr. Collet shares this fabulous testimony.
Yes, my dear Christian friends, I have been in heaven for 5.5 days. And I know that God wants me to share with you this day on this tape some of the precious men that I saw in heaven. One of the most wonderful men that I saw in heaven was Moses. Moses was the man that gave us the law, the Ten Commandments. And I've told this to several different groups, and one especially a Jewish group. And when I told about seeing Moses in heaven, oh, it was so wonderful, they shared it with me. And one precious Jewish lady knelt on her knees before me, and tears were just pouring out of her eyes as I was telling her about Moses in heaven. But I also saw Abraham in heaven, and Elijah, Gypsy Smith, and Jesus. And I also saw many other of the great prophets of the Old Testament. One of the most wonderful prophets in the Bible was one of the prophets who was one that picked up Jesus, Simeon. And they were all together, Moses, Jesus, Abraham, Ezekiel, and Elijah and Elisha, and all these prophets of the Old Testament was there in a group, and Jesus standing in the middle of them. And I was standing by Jesus as all these prophets surround me. But one of the most outstanding personalities in heaven was Moses, the one that gave us the Ten Commandments. And then the Ten Commandments that Israel should follow the Jewish people there to keep them straight and right. But it was Jesus that come and said, the greatest prophet of them all, the greatest instructions, commandments of them all, was the commandment of love thy neighbor as thyself. And when I sat on the love seat in heaven, the love of God came into my life in such a wonderful reality. It came into my soul, for my soul was in heaven. And as I was going around heaven, visiting the different ones, visiting those great men of God. For instance, I talked to Gypsy Smith. I talked to Wigglesworth. I talked to Amy McPherson. I talked to Kathleen Coleman. I talked to all these ones that had won souls. And every one of them were having a mansion built. Moses was already in his mansion. He was in his mansion there, and the man who gave us the law. And Jesus and Moses spoke together. And Jesus said to Moses, you know, the greatest commandment of them all, Moses, is to love thy neighbor as thyself. Therefore, we're no longer under the law, but we're under the dispensation of grace and under the dispensation of love. And as Jesus sat on the right hand of God the Father, and down there also before the throne of God at the same time, Jesus was greater than all the prophets. Because why was Jesus greater than all the prophets? Because it's very real that Jesus was the direct Son of God. The Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary, the mother of Jesus. And as the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary, the mother of Jesus, and then Jesus was born in Bethlehem of no earthly father but of the Holy Ghost. And therefore this divine, real divine birth of Jesus Christ, the born in Bethlehem, he brought to this earth the knowledge, the reality, and the truth, and the blessing of heaven, that there was a real place like heaven. Because in the 14th chapter, St. John, as you know, Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. So then as I stood at the end of the great row of mansions, three rows of mansions, right before the throne of God, miraculous mansions, big and large, many of them, extending out there for many miles before the throne of God. And these mansions constructed of such beautiful reality, constructed of gold and all kinds of precious stones, and all there before the throne of God. And also the Lord let me go into my mansion. I went into my mansion being built for me, so I know one thing, I'm going to heaven, because Jesus would never build a mansion for me unless I was going to occupy it. So I have an occupancy. I have a lease forever. The lease was paid for. The rent was paid. The whole reality of the deed is all free. Everything's all paid. There's not going to be no mortgages, no payments on that mansion of mine because it is paid forever and ever and ever. And you'll never have any plumbing in there. You'll not have anything there obsolete, but everything so beautiful. And oh, that front room of that mansion, if that isn't something, I'm telling you, that front room of that mansion has got a great big open space looking right up to the throne of God. And you can just be in there and look up through at the throne of God and worship God right out of my mansion. Oh, I want to tell you something. You talk about a church house. You talk about a place. You talk a place of gathering. And you know what? The souls that I've won going to be my congregation. Oh, I'm telling you, what a congregation. We won't have to drum up anymore. We're just sitting there and worship the Lord. Just worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, Lord God, and we'll know His life, and we can go in there and have a service anytime we want to. And you know one thing, there'll be no limit on it. If you want to worship parts, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, you won't have to have a lease, you won't have to pay any rent on it, you won't have to do that, you won't have to pay a thing, but you'll be just in there in that mansion forever and ever and ever and ever. Look into the throne of God, and sure you want to become a part in that mansion. Do you want to be a congregation of that mansion? Well, then get a hold of some great big soul winner and say, I want to go to heaven with you. And I'll tell you, the doors are open, the place is ready and ready to go. Because Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And do you know who's the great architect of those mansions? It's Jesus himself. And he absolutely is doing it according to the instructions of his Father. His Father tells him where to place them, where to put them, and there's plenty, plenty, plenty of room between each mansion. And you don't have to have a mowing machine to mow the lawn. That's one thing you don't have to paint it or repaint it every year. You don't have to worry about the roof leaking. You don't have to worry about all these things. You won't have any cockroaches running around in that mansion. You won't have any rats or any mice or anything like that. I want to tell you, it will be absolutely pure, 100%, where and when the rapture takes place. This is the most wonderful reality when the rapture takes place. You know there will be a rapture. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we that remain will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and we'll meet the Lord in the air, crown Him, and then your body will go into heaven and make connections with your soul, and your soul and your body will become one. You'll get a reconstructed body. It'll be a pure body, be a real body. Your soul and your body will go back together, and you'll live forever and ever and ever and more evers and evers and a million evers and ever in that mansion with God. Oh, how wonderful that is. Heaven is a great place. Heaven is a place of the redeemed. Heaven is a place of the holy. Heaven is a place of those been washed in the blood. So then what is the entrance in heaven? Now, just to have an entrance in heaven doesn't mean you have a mansion yet. It means that through being washed in the blood of Jesus Christ that shed His blood upon Calvary's cross, and it run down, means that is your ticket to heaven. That is your ticket. So where do you go? You go there into heaven and take years and more years, and 1,000 years will seem just like a day. Instructions to you to know how to go before the throne of God. But I want to tell you and give you some advice. Learn how to worship God down here. Just learn how to sing the songs. Learn how to play the music. Learn how to dance before the Lord. Learn how to dance before the altar. And you'll be ready to go right up before the throne of God. Because it's all there. The biggest dance floor in the whole world, in the whole universe, in the whole place, in the whole everlasting life is a sea of glass. So then you've prepared yourself. You know the Bible says clearly the bride has made herself ready. So how does the bride make herself ready? By practicing down here. You can practice to dance, you can practice to sing, you can practice to sing the songs of Zion. Not only that, but you can practice to worship the Lord. And you know one thing about in heaven? Everybody raises both hands towards God when they worship the Lord. And in the beauty of holiness. No, that's the most wonderful part about it. You worship God in the beauty of holiness, because when you get to heaven, you become real holy. Hallelujah. So you say, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And there, but it's not in the English language, not in the German language, it's not in the French language, not in the Norwegian language, or the Swedish language, or whatever their language, not in the Indian language. You know what it's in? The language of heaven. And the language of heaven comes directly out of your belly. So then you're able to understand. This is a wonderful reality that I learned in heaven was this, that when you go to heaven, you speak God's language, and you do not have to learn it. You know it immediately, what you're saying. So everybody in heaven talks the language of God. And the language of God, he's given us this language, that there'll be no sickness, there'll be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears. And when I saw this Jewish woman, as she knelt down before me, and I was talking and told her I saw Moses in heaven, she knelt down, and I'm telling you, water actually just run out of her eyes, come right on down onto the floor, because I had seen Moses in heaven. And I know this message in heaven is going to win them in, and win them into believing in God and ready to take them to heaven. But there's one wonderful thing that I saw in heaven, was the color of the instruments. Now, heaven is really a place of color. What do you mean it's a place of color? Well, you know, instruments down here, they're brass and they're all shiny and a lot of things here. But heaven is just full of color. And I must have saw 1,000 blue trumpets. And these trumpets were blue, pretty blue trumpets. And they were playing those trumpets. And you ever heard 1,000 trumpets playing at one time in heaven? I'll tell you, you're ready to worship God. And then I want you to think of all these many, 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 many pianos. You say they have pianos, heaven? I tell you, it looked to me there were 3,000 or 4,000 pianos. Who was playing these pianos? Angels was playing them. Well, how can angels learn to play a piano so quick? Because they have the knowledge of God. They don't have to take music lessons. They just sit down those instruments and start playing away to the glory of God. And I want to tell you, it's the most beautiful, beautiful, beautiful music that you ever heard. And then also, beside that, there is the bells, like I told you before in some of these tapes. How big are those bells? Everybody wonders how big those bells are. Well, if you would weigh them on the earth, like some of them weighed 10 tons. You know, great big bells, little bells, and all kinds of bells hanging. And how can they hang up there? Because there's no scaffold or anything. Well, they just hang up there, and who holds them up? Well, God holds them up. You don't have to have them in a great big spire hanging on all kinds of foundation. They're just up over your head, just ringing. Well, if that isn't the most miraculous thing to know of a bell that looked to me like about 2 or 3 tons, just hanging up above the throne of God, just a ringing. Now, that's what God can do. No man can do that. No man can do the things that God is doing, but that's our God. And then, when the wonderful thing is the streets. Now, you go down the boulevards of this earth, and you see these boulevards in this earth. They are paved with all kinds of pavement. But when you see them paved with pure gold, oh, my, roads and boulevards and everything paved with pure gold. And then what about transportation? Well, I'll tell you exactly what kind of transportation they have. In heaven, when they come down in these chariots, they got chariots up there as big as airplanes. As big as airplanes, you mean? And they come flying down. Now, you got to remember that heaven is 2 million miles across it. And y'all, I mean 1 million miles across it, 2 million miles around it. Now, that's a lot of landing space. I want to tell you, when you see that great, big, long, gold, paved airstrip, but it is not an airstrip, it is a landing place for the chariots. And those chariots come down there, landing right down on this long, big, long, 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 long and longer, longer, longer landing strip. And you know, out there at Kennedy Airport, where I was there just the other day, it was snow on there, and it was slick and slippery. But this one is gold. So here come down these chariots landing, and then you can get in and take a ride and take a flight. Now, and you see, everything that's on this earth, God's got it 10,000 times better. There'll be no airplane that will ever have a bad engine. No airplane that'll ever have an accident. No plane that'll ever do that. In other words, I want to call them a plane, but they are heavenly chariots. Now, I just want you to realize that heaven is a place of activity. It's just not a place where you sit in the corner and have a corner of that heaven for the Baptists, another corner for the Methodists, and another corner for the Episcopalians, another corner for the Catholics, another corner for the Quakers, and another corner for that type of thing. No such thing as heaven. We're all one in heaven. Everybody's all one. You've been washed in the blood. So then, do you want to take a heavenly ride? Do you want? I'm telling you that heaven is a miraculous place. You want to take a heavenly ride. So you're going to take a heavenly ride, so you're going to get in this great big chariot. I want you to think of it. You see, we've got airplanes that hold about 300 or 400 to 500 miles. They say that's a tremendous plane. Can you imagine that Concorde crossing the ocean so fast? Okay, then, let's think of a heavenly ride. 2,000 or 3,000 people getting those in heaven and getting up, and away they go up around the throne of God for a ride, to take a heavenly ride all around the throne of God and back again, clear out. And then, now, we've got another secret for you. And I'm going to give you this secret, what it is. Heaven doors open, and then the transportation goes outside and all around the planet of heaven, and all back and back into heaven. Now, if I tell you, if that isn't something, what's going to happen up there? There's going to be such great activity. And God has done all of this because He's super. He's supreme. He can do things a million times better than man can do. Now, driving through the streets of Manhattan the other day and driving all the way down to New Jersey and all over the place, I looked at some of these buildings. They were like the big post office in Manhattan and all those big buildings and the bridges and all that, all the different places. I could not look and find one building on this earth that would even come up to the smallest construction, the smallest building in heaven, because the buildings in heaven are so beautiful. Oh, the architecture is so beautiful. It's so gorgeous. It's so real. Why? Because it's done by God. And see, God's going to do things a million times better than any man can do upon this earth, because how foolish man is, trying to build up his place forever. It's man wants to live forever. Nebuchadnezzar wanted to live forever. They say, live forever, O king. But it's not so. The only place you can live forever is to get washed in the blood and get your ticket for heaven. When you get your ticket for heaven, you'll go inside. And you know, God is not a God, angry God. He's not a God that just excludes you and say you did this and do that. As long as you get on your knees or stand up or do everyone you want to do, and you say, Jesus, I believe you, please, Jesus, wash me in thy blood, make me a new creature, make me so that I'm a new creature in you, you right then and there got your ticket from heaven. But that's not all. God wants you to get perfected to live in heaven. He wants you to get all the knowledge you know down here about heaven. He wants you to read your Bible. And when you get up there, you'll know a lot about heaven. You'll be ready to go right up before the throne of God. When you get up before the throne of God, and you begin, and there in a minute, the most wonderful reality is the welcoming of the souls in heaven. While I was there, there was quite a group of souls come in through heaven. You see, every time a person dies upon this earth, their soul leaves this earth and makes a 12-hour journey to heaven to live in the house of God forever. So one of the days during, one of the earth days in heaven, during the 5.5 earth days in heaven, I saw about, I couldn't count the number, but there was a lot of them coming right inside heaven's gate because they had just come in. Now, these were ones who had prepared and made themselves ready to live in heaven. They come right on in, right up there before the throne of God, and they had a welcome in heaven, welcoming these souls into heaven and waiting there for their body. So their bodies are still down here in the undertaking parlor, wherever, maybe already in the grave, maybe already down there in the grave. But their soul is in heaven. And the most wonderful part about it is your soul can think, your soul can understand, your soul has knowledge, your soul as wisdom, your soul as all of these things that God intended to man. Why? Because when man, God made man, he was just laying there in the Garden of Eden. He was just exactly like a piece of dirt formed into man. Now, man was laying there, just absolutely what I would say. Well, he was just not, he just laying there. He couldn't move. He was just laying there. He was just formed. He was just formed like you'd take a piece of clay and form something the shape of a man. But you know who made him live? God came right down upon this earth, got down by the first man to go to heaven, and he breathed. Now, God breathed right into the nostrils of man. He breathed right into, can you imagine God's breath coming into that dead piece of dead formed piece of clay laying there, a piece of dirt laying there? He'd form man out, and he did it according to his own likeness. He did it according to how he looks, and then he just breathed. Into his nostrils, and as he breathed in the nostril, man woke up. Why did he wake up? Because he became a living soul. He became alive. Can you imagine that piece of clay laying there in the ground, and God breathing right into the nostrils of that man, and up he jumped? So this proves one thing. The life of the Spirit, the life of the Holy Ghost, the life that causes you to move around this earth spiritually, is your soul. But what keeps your body going is the blood. And the blood that's running through the veins of your body. Now, when I was in the coma, I called it a coma, when I was laying there, the blood was still running through my body. But I was just exactly like Adam was. When Adam was laying there, I didn't know what was going on down here. I can't remember one thing that happened for that 6 days. Not one thing. Can't remember one thing. Proving that the life and knowledge and understanding is in the soul of man. So then I was gone. So all the knowledge, soul, and understanding of life, of eternal life, of the Spirit, is in your soul. That's in your inward man, in your soul. That's why we're different than animals. That's why we're different than the dog. That's why we're different than the sheep. Because there's something in us that makes us think. There's something in us that makes us pray. There's something in us that makes us understand. That's the soul in you. The soul of man in you. So then your soul leads to heaven. So then when you get into heaven, your soul is made happy. Happy in God, made joy. Now, when you understand what you call depression. Depression is a work of the devil and cause you to have diseases, cause you to have cancer, cause you to have all these nasty things that happens to man. That's the devil gives you depression. But then, what is the opposite? Joy. Joy unspeakable. So that's what I loved about heaven. Everybody was joyful. There was nobody worried to say, well, you know what I did? I didn't have enough money to pay my rent because there's no rent to pay up there. Somebody didn't say, well, I didn't have enough to pay my telephone bill. Well, there's no telephone up there, so you don't have to pay a telephone bill. You don't have to pay a food bill. You don't have to pay the mortgage. You don't have none of these things. So that's why you got complete joy. In other words, you got no worries. You've got absolutely no worries because it's complete joy. Now, can you try to think in your mind, Abraham, Moses, Jesus, and me, and all of them together, just full of joy altogether? Just full of joy, joy unspeakable. Can you imagine Moses being happy and saying hallelujah, glory to God in God's language and saying holy, holy, holy? And Jesus, the Son of God, walking among them all, giving all the instruction. Why? Because he is the Messiah. He is the Messiah. He is the one that was sent to this earth, upon this earth, to die for man upon this earth. Now, when you look back there, and you find that man was just a form, and God breathed in his nostrils, and man became a living soul. So Jesus was willing to come and be that second Adam. He was willing to come and die upon the cross and be nothing but a piece of flesh hanging there. See, but what happened? When the time came that the Spirit of the Father, when the time came that the Holy Ghost of heaven, the Spirit of God, came into the body of Jesus. Jesus came back alive again. He came back alive, and what happened? This earth couldn't hold him. Why? Because there was definitely the reality that gravity couldn't hold Jesus down. gravity, this earth couldn't hold him down anymore. He was ready to go and float away. And I had that wonderful experience, the same experience that Jesus had, starting up towards heaven by and through the glorious Spirit of God, that drawing power. And it was the most wonderful reality and the most wonderful feeling that you could ever... Yes, feeling? You mean to say you have feeling in your soul? Of course you have feeling in your soul. You mean to say you go up there like somebody dead and can't feel anything? No, you have lots of feeling in heaven. You feel the joy. You feel the praise of God. You feel all that reality of heaven comes upon you. Comes right upon you by the power of the living God. And so you become a part of heaven. Then you get an official welcome. And in that official welcome, you become a residence. Oh, hallelujah, you become a residence. Your soul becomes a residence of heaven. You become a permanent resident forever and ever and ever and ever. And you don't have to wait around 100 years or going to die, because 100 years go by, 1,000 years, 5,000, 10,000 years go by, and you're still full of joy because there's no night there. Now, you can't imagine that in your natural mind, a place with no joy, with no night, or no sorrow, or no tears, and then you're living in a complete victory. There's such a thing down on this earth, and not having the victory. You say, you know, some people say, well, I haven't got the victory, I'm just down in the dumps. But there's no dumps to be down in heaven, because it's all up and all joy, so you can't down in the dumps and nowhere to go down. It's all joy and all up. So then when you're in there, so traveling, it's going to take you, I would say, 1,000,000 years to look heaven all over. It's so big. You're not going to look it over in one day, because there's just many thousands upon thousands of different parts of heaven. So I'm sure you want to get up and explore the place. You want to get up and explore what's here, what's there, and explore it all through, and go right through heaven, and explore the throne of God, explore under the throne, and go and explore and visit. And you know what you can do? You'll be able to go visit him. Is that? I think that's wonderful. Of course, you've heard about these great men of God. You say, well, I think I'll see if I can go over today and visit Gypsy Smith. Oh, glory. And you say you're going to be able to visit him and talk to him? Sure, everybody will be able to visit one another. You won't have to get a visitor permit, and you won't have to get a back door, front door to get in and see the president, because there's no president up there. You won't have to go there to find, you won't have to go in there and find the head of the Congress, because there's no head of the Congress up there. You won't have, why, and you won't have to go and look to see a king, because the only king up there will be King Jesus. Hallelujah! You'll be king up there, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah! Lord of Lords and Lord of Lords. And then when you do go over there and you do talk and you go over, and you won't have to get a visitor's permit, you know, down here. Looking down, you got signs on it says visitor, visitor, visitors only, and all that. But you're a permanent resident, you'll not be just a visitor. Then I think one of the most wonderful things is all the fruit. Can you imagine millions of people up there, millions of angels, all eating fruit? Well, I want to tell you, there will be an ample supply of fruit in heaven for you to eat. Delicious fruit to eat. And be just joy. So you'll say, well, I get up in the morning. No, you won't. No, get up. You won't have to get up. You'll be already up, because there'll be no sleeping. 24 hours earthly day a day. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Because I prayed, O Lord, let me see thy glory. And certainly you want to go to heaven. And if you don't want to get to heaven, I'm telling you, you're going to miss it. Because I want to tell you that in the Bible it says, going into Abraham's bosom. And this next tape, God's going to show me what Abraham's bosom is. You know that was said to the man, you're going to be in Abraham's bosom. You know Abraham's bosom, the reality of Abraham's bosom. And so in this next tape, I'm going to tell you about what the bosom means, the bosom of heaven. Yes, friends and Christian friends, I would like to explain that the reason I spent 5.5 days in heaven, and not 6, not 5, not 4, because it took 12 hours to go there and come back. So then with a 6-hour trip to heaven, you go into heaven in 6 hours to come back. But if you're going to heaven and you don't want to come back, you'll just have to go 6 hours and you'll be in there. Now, going into heaven, it was told in the Bible that the beggar would be in Abraham's bosom, and the rich man had had his good time down there. So I asked the archangel what Abraham's bosom was. So the Abraham's bosom means that the beggar would be up there with Abraham. And the bosom of heaven is the bosom of God, is the closing reality of the wonderful love of God. And so Abraham doesn't take over the whole fact that he takes in people just to be with him. Abraham is just like any other Holy Ghost person in heaven, just full of the glory of the Lord like anybody else. And when you're in heaven, nobody has really got any higher place in heaven than anybody else, because we're all one in heaven, even the prophets and those great, wonderful, wonderful soul winners. And also all the wonderful, 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 wonderful women in heaven. We'll be all one, just like on one, able to talk to one another. Now, if you could walk over all over heaven and talk to Jesus, the very one who paid this price upon Calvary, I want to say we certainly will be able to talk to the rest of them in just a Holy Ghost manner as Jesus is. Now, Jesus is all the great, wonderful, wonderful, supreme instructor of heaven. Jesus is not just going to be the one who would, let's say, just be just an ordinary person. Jesus will be and is our great representative of heaven. If you went behind in an earthly court, in a court of law, and when you got in there, there was a judge, and there was a jury, and there was all these different ones to start the court of law in progress. Who would represent you there if you was needing representation? It would be the defense lawyer. So the defense lawyer is the one who represents a person upon this earth. Who represents you in heaven is Jesus. Jesus petitions the Father through the blood to bring his own to him, that his own will not be condemned and put out into the bottomless pit. Jesus come upon this earth, and that's made very clear in heaven, that Jesus is really in charge. He's in charge of his people. He's in charge of his own. And he'll lead his own all over heaven. And he'll be the one that will petition his Father for any petition that's made in regards to his people. Now, when the great judgment throne of God, now this is the judgment throne of God I'm talking about, who will be before the judgment throne of God? It makes it very clear, the sheep and the goats. Who will represent us are those who, we as children of God, we as born again Holy Ghost Christians, who are filled with the Spirit of God, who are living a holy life down upon this earth and set our life, we won't go into judgment. There'll be no judgment for us. We'll be already redeemed. We're already set free. We're already set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. We're all set free. So there'll be no judgment for us. We'll not be under bondage. But those who have not just went in other words, buying through the skin of their teeth, they'll go before the judgment. And the judgment that they go through will be before the judgment, before the great white throne. Now, the great white throne is white. It is white, but also it is trimmed with colors. It's trimmed all around with all kinds of colors, all around. The most miraculous, glorious place you ever saw. Now, God is the judge. God is not man, nor no angels, nor no Abraham, nor no eyes, not going to judge you. God himself is going to judge you, and he's going to judge those according to their works. And when they're judged according to their works, Jesus is going to step forward for you. He's going to say, "This is mine, Father, been washed in my blood, and you'll be free, and you'll be there to the right hand, and you'll be with the sheep." Oh, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that precious to belong to the sheep and not the goats? And then those will say, well, now I knew you. And you know, Jesus said, well, I don't know you. You never come to me. You never asked me to wash me in your blood. That'll be a sorry day for those. I'm telling you that. So you can't afford not to accept Jesus as Savior. You cannot afford not to say, Jesus, save me. You cannot afford to say, Jesus, wash me in the blood. If you do, you're taking too much of a chance. Did you know you're taking too much of a chance? So there is going to be a judgment before the great white throne of God. And God's going to make that decision. And God's a just God. So then all God can do then, if you're not represented by Jesus, all God can do, use his own wisdom. And he'll say, well, God will be then, you'll be, your case will be right in the hands of the Father. And that'll be according to your works. Not according to the blood, be according to your works. And I'm telling you, that's sorry. Now, if you go back and you find Solomon. Now, God is much more wiser than Solomon. God is a way wiser than Solomon. Now, Solomon was a great judge. Do you remember in the Bible when those two women came up and one baby was dead, a dead baby, and the other baby was living, and one was dead? Solomon was there on his throne. God's going to be on his throne. So God is going to be so much wisdom. He's going to know who is guilty and not guilty. God's going to know absolutely who's guilty and not guilty because he's a God, a just God. But if Jesus steps forward and pleads your case, it's all over. And God will say, is he yours, my son? Yes, he said, take him, he's yours. Let him stay with you forever. But if you haven't accepted Jesus in his blood, you're going to be in a sorry place, I'm telling you. You're going to be in a real sorry place if you haven't accepted Jesus. So Solomon there, and these two women came up before Solomon. And there they were, they had this baby. They had this baby. Had the baby. So this one woman, She said, Solomon said, well, we'll just divide the baby. You just cut the baby in half. One woman take the other half. And the other woman, you know, that woman that owned that baby, she began to squeal. She began to cry. Oh, don't cut that baby in half. I don't care if the other woman has the baby, just so you don't kill that baby. That's exactly the same way in the judgment throne of God. God's going to know who is guilty and who is not guilty. He's going to know that, and he's a just God. But I wouldn't take chance of waiting to go before the throne of God under judgment to find out where you're going to go, whether you're going to be cast in a bottomless pit or in there or not, or whether you're going to stay in heaven forever. I would never take that chance if I was you. And it's so simple. It's so simple. And it was explained to me in heaven very clear. All you have to do is repent of your sins, and say, Jesus, save me. That's all you got to say. You don't have to do a lot of squealing. You don't have to do a lot of shouting or all that or anything. Just say, Jesus, save me. Please apply your blood and mean it. And mean it. He believeth on me, as the Scripture said. And also there it is said, believe, and the word believe means to believe Jesus is the Messiah, to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, to believe Jesus paid his price upon Calvary. And you know what I saw in heaven? I want to tell you, there's a replica of Calvary. Oh, if that isn't wonderful, the replica of Calvary. There's a replica of Calvary up there where Jesus went and shed his blood upon. It's all there. It's all there in heaven. All there. And how Jesus shed his blood. There's the slain lamb, as I said, and Jesus shed his blood. When Jesus come up to me, and I didn't have to ask him who he was. But so wonderfully. You remember Thomas? When Thomas come up before him, and Jesus said to Thomas, thrust your hand in my side. And Thomas was kind of an unbeliever, and he thrust his hands in Jesus' side, and you know what he said? My Lord and my God! My Lord and my God! And you know what Jesus said? Blessed are those that didn't see and believe. But when I got in heaven, Jesus held his hands out to me. Held one hand on one side and one hand to the other. And there were in the middle of the palms of his hands where those rugged nails had gone. Those marks were taken to heaven. And then the same in his feet. And the gash of the sword in his side is right there. But I didn't have to say, where's Jesus? When I looked at him, he held his hands out to me and showed me his hands. And you know what? I just felt like putting my arms all around Jesus and just loving him. Oh, it was so wonderful. Just the presence of Jesus, the reality of presence of Jesus was so wonderful. When we took our walk and our talk together, his hands were so soft and so beautiful, and his hair was so beautiful, flaxen, just flaxen, silky, beautiful hair, and those eyes as Jesus walked with me and talked with me. And Jesus said to me, "You are my own." Oh, hallelujah! When Jesus said to me, "Percy, you are my own, I bought you." And I said, "Am I your slave, Jesus?" She said, he said, "If you want to call it that," he said, "you can be what you want to be, but you're mine. You are mine, Percy. I bought you with a price on Calvary, and you belong to me." Oh, glory! You belong to me. I belong to Jesus. You mean to say that I belong to him? I belong to Jesus? Yes, I belong to Jesus. So then he's my own. So then I walk with him and I talk with him, and he told me he was his own. And he took me all over his Father's heaven. Took me all over his Father and explained everything to me. And if you listen, I want to tell you, if you, oh, glory to God, if you want the same experience, you just get in touch with Jesus. Hallelujah. Get in touch with the Son of God. Hallelujah. The Son of God, the Lamb of God. Get in touch with him. He'll call you at home because he's ready to buy you. Because you know what you are. You are. You're absolutely belonging to this world. There's no other way you get to heaven unless you let Jesus buy you with a price, which is his blood. So he's going to buy you right out of the hands of the devil. That's right. He's going to buy you right out of it. When he's bought you, you are his. And when you're his, you're ready to go. And you know what he does? Jesus is very faithful. And he's going to have you up in heaven with him. With Jesus. He's going to have you up in heaven with him. And then you walk with him and you'll talk with him. And you know there'll be a millions of years for you to have the opportunity. So you can have millions of years. So then you can walk with Jesus. I want to take a walk with Jesus this morning. My, my, my. How anybody could ever want to stay on this earth and never go to heaven, be able to go to heaven and walk and talk with Jesus? I don't know. But that's exactly what's going to happen. So then Jesus explained to me. He said, "Percy, You know something?" I said, "What, Jesus?" Now, this is the way you talk to him. Just say, don't look at him as somebody way off. You're talking to him, just talking to him. He says, "You know what you've seen in heaven? No, up to now." This was on the last day, what you've seen. He says, "We got a billion more things to show you." A billion more things to show me for what I saw in heaven? A billion more things? He said, "You wait till you get up there, above the throne of God, way circling back up there." Now, what do you mean by that? 2 million miles around heaven. Therefore, it's got to be 1 million miles up almost, clear up to the top of heaven. Now, can you imagine 1 million miles? All up there above the throne of God, all up around there, and you'll be able to go up there and see what's up there? I'm telling you, there's got to be a lot of things. You're going to find out how those bells ring. You're going to find out how it all happens. You're going to get up there and you're going to find out all this whole thing works. You're going to find out how it all happens, how it all works. So not only that, Jesus told me, he's going to take me a trip into eternity. And I tell you, that's going to be the wonderful reality to find out where God come from and find out where Jesus come from. I tell you, that's going to be a privilege to go back into eternity and go way back through there and find out where God come from, because God always was. And then, but God, Jesus explained to me, he came out of eternity to create and build this new heaven. To create and build a new heaven. The old heaven is passing away right now. And the new heaven is being constructed so beautiful and so real by Jesus and created by God. So then around the back of the throne of God, you'll be able to go around the back of the throne of God and all around the side of the throne, and then you'll see the many, many things in heaven. Now it'll take 10,000 years just to look at the beings in heaven. What do you mean, beings in heaven? Thousands of beings created by God, thousands of animals looking like horses, being able to praise the Lord, thousands of different kind of animals all being able to praise the Lord. My Lord, you talk about a horse show. When you get up there, you're just looking all over all the horses. It'll take you 10,000 years. And just looking over all the sheep. And then just looking over all these, all the creation of God, all the creation of God that God ever created will be in him, except the devil. That's the only one that cannot be in there. The devil's the only one that cannot be in there. So then, the devil has got us on this earth, as long as we serve him. Got us. So if we follow the devil, we got to go his way. There's no other way. But why go the devil's way when you can turn around and go the Lord's way and be washed in the blood and dwell in the house of the Lord forever? I mean, that just doesn't make good sense to it. So then I was taken over and showed the tables of heaven. Now, we talked about the tables out there in outer space where we're going to have the wedding supper of the Lamb. So then God, Jesus, took me over and showed me the banqueting room. The banqueting room in heaven? You may say they got a banqueting room in heaven? Yes, Jesus has a banquet room in heaven. So how big is that banqueting room? He says 10,000 miles square is the banqueting room. So then all that banqueting room is full of tables and full of fruit and everything. And each day you go into the banquet room and take your seat at the banquet table of the Lord and sit down and eat of the glorious things of the Lord. Glory, hallelujah. To go into God's banquet room alone is worth going to heaven. And then go into the worship part. Now, there's a worship part. The worship part is before the throne of God. Now, I want to take you and put you on the same place that God would be for a moment. Take now, let's say you're standing upon the altar. And then you're looking up on the congregation. Just get a picture of looking on the congregation. Now, we look at congregations down upon this earth. I've seen, thousands before the preacher, just looking upon the spectacular things that have happened upon the earth. But can you imagine getting and standing upon the throne of God and looking over the vast congregation? Now, how many do you think there is in there? 900 billion beings. 900 billion beings out there in the congregation, and you're looking out at those billions of beings out there, all in the congregation. Let's have the morning service. Now, let's start the morning service. Now, let's start with the praise of the Lord. We're starting the morning service now. Now, here you got billions of people there ready to sing and glorify the Lord. Pray. Billions of people out there. So, we're starting the morning service. So, here we start, the music starts. And the music goes bang, bang, starting. We all start. And then that whole congregation praising the Lord God Almighty. And there we are all at once. Don't you want to be in that congregation? Don't you want to be in the course? You want to be in that congregation? And you know what everyone was doing? Raising their hands. And you talk about, let's have a clap offering. Everyone was clapping their hands together to the glory of the Lord. And you know what happened? Then they all started to dance. My, 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 billions of people dancing. All together, Jews, black people, all kinds of colored people, Chinese and all that, reborn again, already done, all together, glorified, glorifying the great God of the heavens. You cannot miss this place. No way can you miss this place. Then the flowers, all the flowers of heaven, millions of flowers. And the most wonderful thing is, that the animals will be praising God at the same time. The animals praising everything. Everything. And you know what? There'll be breath in heaven. There'll be breath. I found that out. There'll be breath in heaven. You'll breathe. You'll breathe in heaven. You see, you'll have, but what breath you'll have is the breath of God. And you know what Jesus say? He'll raise his hand and say, let everything hath breath praise my Father. Oh, glory. And so everything that has breath will praise the Father. For everything that has breath, praise the Lord. So there will be breath in them. And you know what the breath will be? The breath of God. We'll be breathing their celestial air. We'll not be breathing dirty air. Now, you know, there's a lot of dirty air down there. If you take a set of lungs that have been, praise the Lord, let's say, raised in the Amazon basin, a set of lungs. And you open up that body and you find that set of lungs that's in a person that's raised in the Amazon basin. Now, and one-third of the oxygen of the world comes out of the Amazon basin. So when you open up a body and you look into the lungs, their lungs are fire red. You know what happens when you open up a body and somebody raised in Chicago, New York, or all where all the smoke is, you know what color they are? They're brown. They're really brown and dark. Why? Because we've been contaminated with the things of the earth. The human body has been contaminated with the things of the earth. That's exactly what it is, the earth or death. But in heaven, everything is bright and beautiful. There is absolutely no decayed lungs up there. There's no heart trouble. There's no, don't have to have an operation for an implant of a new heart or anything like that. Man is trying to keep himself alive. You know, it's something for man to want to hang on to life just to put a few more years on his life. And when you can do it all, when you can do the whole reality and get a reality, really lungs and really heart and really mind and really the whole body, a new body, just there perfect and there living forever without a blemish. You won't need any doctors in heaven. And you won't need any medicine. You won't need anything like that. You won't need anything like that because it's all perfect. Now, this is the perfectness of God in pure operation going on forever. Now, so then you breathe in heaven? You know, this is what I'm going to tell you. You know, I walked over, all my soul was walking all over heaven, and I'd just take some big breaths like that. You remember? Taking a big breath in heaven, breathing in, oh, it was so wonderful to breathe in that pure air. Do you mean to say your soul was breathing? Of course my soul was breathing. Do you mean to say you could see with your mind? You could see? Of course you can see. You mean to say your soul had a set of eyes? Yes, your soul. You mean to say you could walk? Of course you could walk. You mean to say your soul can talk? Of course your soul can talk. But when your body leaves this earth and these graves open wide and the rapture takes place and your soul's up there waiting, and you know what? They're going to say, here comes my body. Here comes my body in. My body's coming in. My new body's coming in. And your soul will jump right into that new body and you'll be all one. That's heaven for you. Here comes my body. Everybody trying to identify their own body at the resurrection because that body will be coming in. And you say, here comes my body. My body's coming in now. The resurrection, my body coming in. And you'll get over and your body and soul will become one. You can figure that one out. That's heaven. Now, you figure that one out, but that's the way it is. You figure that one out. So then your body will be in heaven, your soul will be in heaven, and you will dwell in the house of the... That's, I tell you, I want to be there when all those bodies come in. I tell you, I want to see those millions of bodies coming right into heaven. That's going to be a homecoming, I'm telling you. And you know what's going to be such a homecoming? And then you'll dwell in God's heaven forever and ever. Now, what else is in heaven? Okay. They're like the river of life. I thought the river of life was such a wonderful reality. Can you imagine an everlasting flow coming out under the throne of God, the Spirit of God, looking like a river? I mean, you know, we got a little bit, some spirit down here, we feel real good when the Spirit of the Lord is on us down here. And then we feel the Spirit, and we feel the Spirit moving down. But can you imagine an ample supply of the Spirit of the Lord? So what's that river filling up for? I said, Jesus, how long is it going to take for this river to fill up? He said, it's filling up very rapidly. But he said, when the banks begin over to flow, the banks begin to overflow, and God opens the gates for this river to come fly coming down, and that'll be the great explosion upon this earth. And I want to tell you, when that happens, those believers will get so full of the Lord. And I'll tell you, there'll be nothing to stop us then. There'll be nothing stop us. Why will nothing be stop us? Because there'll be such a power upon this earth, the devil will have to move back. And when he moves back, we'll take charge of the whole situation down here in heaven. And I'll tell you, it'll be such an explosion. Millions will come to the throne of grace. Millions will come in. And when they come in, millions will come in. And they'll call upon the Lord and say, what must I do to be saved? And the answer will be, call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved. And thy household will be born in and dwell in the house of the Lord. There's one wonderful reality that I want to tell you about heaven right now. Is the dress in heaven. You may say you have dresses in heaven. You're going to be dressed. You're going to be dressed in the most beautiful mantles and the most beautiful clothing that ever could be put upon a person. You won't be naked in heaven. You'll have clothing upon you like robes upon you made out of the most beautiful, beautiful, beautiful hand of God. And when you're clothed with that clothes, but you know what that clothing will be? The righteousness of God. You'll be clothed with the righteousness of God. The righteousness, and you'll become full righteous then. Fully righteous. Oh, hallelujah. Can you imagine becoming fully righteous where you can't sin anymore? Now, that's a fact. You can sin down here, but you will have the robe of God on in heaven, and you just can't be able to sin anymore because there'll be no sinning to done up there. There'll be no sinning. I tell you, that's the most that really got me when he said you won't be able to sin in heaven. There'll be no sin, no jealousy, no trouble, no lying, no stealing, no thieving, nothing but just righteousness. And you'll be clothed in the righteousness of God. I'll tell you, I want to walk all over God's heaven for years and years and years. And I always did love to take a walk in the flowers. But then Jesus said, would you like to see the fields of flowers? Fields of flowers? So he took me around the throne of God. And here was every imaginable flower, roses, tulips, and everything. Just millions of acres of flowers. And I love flowers. And walk through the flower beds. Oh, hallelujah. I'll tell you, I want to take some with me and just walk through the flower beds and look at the pretty flowers just waving in God's heaven. Just flowers. Millions and billions of flowers. And the smell was so wonderful. The celestial smell of the beautiful. I had an experience one time upon this earth, and we was in a meeting, and they said, can you smell something? You smell roses. There wasn't a rose around. We could smell all kinds of flowers. And you know that must have been a coming from heaven. Because if you ever walk through the flower beds of heaven, all through these massive, massive fields of flowers, that's the creation and the beauty of God. That's what God's fixing for us. And that's what God's, the creation of God, is unlimited. Just absolutely unlimited. You got any automobiles in heaven? No, because there's no gasoline in heaven. You don't need gasoline up there, but you got chariots. So then you can go riding in a chariot. It's unlimited. You know, heaven is a place of, I can say it's a place of entertainment. God's going to entertain you, get up there, and entertain you with perfect entertainment forever and ever. You know, sometimes it's kind of exciting to go to something and say, well, we're going there and near this big preacher, and my, it's going to be wonderful. There's a lot of people there. We're going to travel halfway across the United States. We're going to hear it, and you're all excited to go. But I'm telling you, I'm excited about heaven because I've been there. I know what it is. I'm really excited about heaven because I know I'm going. And I know I got my ticket, the blood of the Lord, and I'm going to spend eternity in heaven. Now, I would like you to do just this. If you will, please, think about it. Think about it, friend, where you're going to spend eternity. It'd be awful to take a chance to think you'd miss heaven. Just think where you here's a place prepared, billions of flowers, billions of everything, millions and millions and millions and millions of tons of fruit for everybody, everything completely supplied, rivers, everything supplied. Please don't miss heaven. Please get ready for heaven now. Please say, Jesus, I want to go to heaven. Please, right now, will you please get down on your knees in your house, wherever you are, or whatever you want to do. Put your hands up and say, Jesus, I want to go to heaven. I want to be washed in your blood. I want to go, and that's all it takes to go to heaven. Hallelujah, because he's prepared this place for you. Jesus said, in my Father's house, in many mansions, not so I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And Jesus is doing the building, the preparation, and God is doing the creating. How wonderful God is. So friends, dear friends, will you do this? Will you get ready right now? And thank God for the privilege to make this tape. If you can hear it, God bless you.